Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Even more critical to give you that shove over the hump because we're heading into a holiday weekend. I know not everyone is feeling the holiday spirit, at least on this Wednesday morning, but good morning to you. The breaking news, because I'm not just paying attention to sports in studio this morning. I've also got the Weather Channel up in front of me, and Jim Cantore is in a very large flooded area in Cedar Key, Florida, where Hurricane Idalia is now a Category 4. So overnight has gone from a Cat 3 to a Cat 4 hurricane. And while we await the next update, there are 20 million people who at this point are under some type of tropical alert, whether it be a watch or a warning. States of emergency have been declared in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, as Idalia will cross over onto land in the Florida Panhandle, which is so rare. As I was driving into work last night, I heard a report that indicated the last time a hurricane of this magnitude, or really a major hurricane, hit the Florida Panhandle, it was 100 years ago. It's with this type of force and these types of winds. And of course, the Category 4 can spawn tornadoes, not to mention the storm surge and the flooding and the water and everything else. And so right now, Hurricane Idalia is a Category 4 with winds of 130 miles per hour. Thinking of you all that are in Tampa, Tallahassee, in the Florida Panhandle, and then on up into Georgia, Savannah, Charleston, Myrtle Beach. These are all cities that are in the path of Idalia, according to the Weather Channel. Though hopefully once she gets over land, she will start to weaken. Yeah, please be safe. Take care of yourself. Take care of your people. Take care of your pets. Please be safe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Wednesday morning to those of you who are not in the path of a hurricane. Something to be thankful for. If you did not hear your question answered last hour as part of Ask Amy Anything, it's a staple on our hump show. I do go back and answer a bunch of your questions on social media when they don't require a Shakespearean sonnet. I will go back and answer them. Though, as we have told you, we're going to keep saying it because I know we have different people tuning in and out. The wedding questions will be answered all together in one video that we will record next month. So post Labor Day, because I still have taste testings. Don't you want to know about the food? We can't do a video version of Ask Amy Anything with all your wedding questions until we know about the food. And actually, kind of a bummer, Jay, one of the caterers that we thought we were going to do a taste testing with, she canceled on us. She just said she doesn't have time over this weekend. Oh. She told Bob on the phone, I can do September 17th. Well, thank you, but unfortunately, we can't do September 17th. So this is after she told us that she would do a taste testing this weekend. So now we're scrambling a bit to find another caterer who can do a tasting while we're there. So we have one scheduled, and we do believe that everything happens for a reason. So apparently
she was probably the worst one anyway.
Yeah, she was not the caterer that we'll be using for the wedding in December. But yeah, we're trying to find another one because we've heard from a bunch of different people that taste testing is the best part of wedding planning.
I have heard that. My brother, my brother-in-law and my sister swear by it. They said it was like the most fun they've ever had in their life was taste testing for their wedding.
Yeah, so this would be the meal. We're doing a dinner, a sit-down dinner after the wedding. So at the reception, it's going to feature a full meal with entrees and sides and everything else. However, the dessert taste testing won't come until October. So I have to wait to do cupcake taste testing October. Yeah. And actually, right now, Bob is not part of that.
What?
Oh, well, he's sort of invited.
Does he not know this?
Yes, no, he knows this. He knows that my best friend is making the cupcakes for the wedding. And so she lives in Atlanta, and I've just purchased a plane ticket to get to Atlanta to do cupcake taste testing. And I kind of mentioned, hey, if you're not busy this weekend and you want to come in, I'm sure Stephanie has plenty of room. But I wouldn't say I'm pushing it. Maybe, just maybe, cupcake weekend should be a girls' weekend. I don't know.
I hear you.
Like, does he need to taste the cupcakes ahead of time?
I don't. Doesn't have to.
So we'll see. I told him he should maybe go hunting that weekend. He's big into bow hunting, and well, if not bow hunting, then he'll turn to rifle. But yes, does have to get his deer so that the future missus can have venison for the next year. I do like venison steaks.
I tried Bob's jerky venison, right? What is it?
Yeah, venison jerky.
It's good.
It was very good. He made that all by himself.
Yeah,
see
probably
how important the hunting is. Maybe you should just stay in Texas and go hunting, Bob.
It's for the best for everybody.
It really is.
You'll have a better time there. Just tell him that.
Than just eating a bunch of different cupcakes.
Yeah, who wants to just smother their face in desserts and nah.
It's asking me anything, the wedding version. I suppose you'll want to know about the food, so there's another reason that we'll save it until next month. But check out the other video versions of Ask Amy on our YouTube channel, named after the show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also, as I say, I'll go back and answer some of your questions on both Twitter and Facebook. Good to hear from Jeff, who's in Naples, Florida. He said he was out running this morning, but while it's good for Jeff, 20+ million people are under tropical alerts, whether it be watches or warnings. So there's a lot of people in the path of Hurricane Idalia. And yeah, even now as I'm watching Jim Cantore and some of his Weather Channel cohorts, all of them are standing in water. Like, it's water that's flooding the streets. I think it's 51, Jay. I think we're on 51, which is where I found it. 51 or 52 for the Weather Channel. Yeah, it's pretty crazy just even to see the flooding already in places like Clearwater Beach, Florida. So yeah, Tampa and Tallahassee, we know we're under hurricane warnings, even though Idalia is still off the coast. But please, please, please be careful on this Wednesday morning. A lot of people have family in Florida, friends in Florida. Gosh, Florida was one of the most popular destinations for people moving over the last couple years. So it's got a larger population now and a major test for not just the tropical, not just the people who live there, but also we're talking about the National Guard. And I did hear that there are various FEMA personnel from all over the country who are descending on Florida to try to help. Oh, yes, please be careful if you're evacuating or not. Just either way, we're thinking of you. As we think about what's happening in professional sports, well, there's a smorgasbord, as is always the case. We'll get to some NFL news coming up very soon. We talked about the Ryder Cup team and the risky decision made by Captain Zach Johnson. Sprinkle in Amy. Heavens. Let's reset. Let's do a one box breathing. Just kidding. I don't have time for a box of breathing, but
box breathing.
Yeah. Where's Aaron Rodgers when I need him? But take two there. We're going to attempt to sprinkle in some tennis only because there's one name that you all know who was actually playing again at the U.S. Open and another American who is getting ready to retire whenever he is ousted from the Open. So we'll try to sprinkle that in as well. It's busy, just super busy, even though we're not even to football season yet. That's 1 week from tomorrow, though. Woo! We've already worked in some QB news, but we'll let you hear from Trey Lance later this hour, too, because he seems very happy, relieved, refreshed to be a member of the Dallas Cowboys. 35-year-old pitcher Alex Cobb. Oh, he was having the game of his life in the Bay Area just a few hours ago. The Giants hosting the Reds. Not only was his splitter working, he was getting the incredible defense in the field behind him.
Right side of the infield, straight up. Two down, nobody on. The windup. 2-2 pitch. Swing, and there's a pop fly, shallow left center. Slater racing, diving. He makes the catch! What a play by Austin Slater! A headlong dive is a little slow in getting up. And hopefully he's okay. But he has saved the no-hitter, at least for the moment. And Alex Cobb needs three outs more.
Ooh, John Miller with the call on the Giants Radio Network, KNBR, our San Francisco Bay Area affiliate. So, yeah, it was a beaut from Austin Slater. He had to gallop. He had to get on his horse and go about 20, 25 feet as this ball is shallow left center. It's about to drop. So it's not only shallow, but it's got this kind of precipitous drop. And Slater just lays out and catches it right above the blades of grass. It was really impressive. And the reaction from Alex Cobb, throws his arms up in the air. It's the end of the eighth inning, now heading into the ninth inning, where he gets the first two outs with relative ease.
Alex Cobb, who is 35 years old. He grew up in Vero Beach, Florida, the longtime spring training home of the Dodgers. He grew up around Major League Baseball. So he knows better than anybody the history that he's flirting with here. 0-1 pitch. There's a drive into right center field. On the run, Matos back into his right, and it's over his head. It will roll into the sixth archway, and that's the first hit. Coming around to score is Senzel. And it is 6-1, and that takes away the no-hitter for Alex Cobb. And you can imagine the emotion as he was that close to realizing something, a dream that any young ball player would have, to maybe pitch a no-hitter in the big leagues. And here at age 35, on the downside of his career, having the game of his life, and it came that close.
Just, you know, whatever, yeah. Still fun, you know. You know, there was no, I wasn't mad, sad. It was just, you know, all right, let's finish it off kind of thing. Would at least like the CG out of it. But so many things have to go right for one of those to happen. When Slates made that catch, I started to think maybe it was going to be one of those nights. But, you know, it was I haven't seen the pitch yet. I like to go back and look at it. But in the immediate, you start second-guessing the pitch. But, you know, the split's what got me to that point. So I was going to live and die with it. I hadn't pitched out of the stretch very much, obviously. And I think that was a little bit of a challenge to try to get my kind of groove going in the stretch. So just probably wasn't one of the best splits I threw tonight.
Still one of the best outings of his career. 8 strikeouts for Alex Cobb, 131 pitches, by far a career high, and yet he still had velocity there in the ninth inning and came within a strike and one out. 8 2/3, no hit ball. Though the Reds are able to get the one hit, the double from Spencer Steer, and then the run to end the shutout, he still does have the complete game. Really cool to watch, except his reaction, though, when the no-hitter was gone. Clear disappointment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, the Giants are fighting for a wild card spot in the National League. Right now, the top wild card in the NL is the Phillies.
The runners go, the pitch, swing and a bouncer towards third. It's a fair ball down the left field line, and it's going to the corner. Stott will score. Rojas will score. Turner around second. He's heading for third. The head first slide. He's safe with a triple. and it's 8-4 Phillies.
0-2.
And a swing and a high fly ball up the alley, left center, going back. Grichuk looking up at the wall. It's gone, and Turner has gone deep again. Two last night, another one tonight. That's 18 on the year. It's the fifth of the night for the Phillies. They lead it 12-5.
A call there on Phillies radio. And yeah, kind of a story within a story here. First of all, well, two stories within the story. Trey Turner, he's the guy that they signed. Now, finally, the guy that they signed when they brought him on board, and there was so much excitement last offseason, they thought Trey Turner could be the piece that would put them over the hump. Remember, they got all the way to the World Series. They won the NL pennant. And in bringing back most of their guys, adding Trey Turner, they believed they had a team that would contend for a World Series. Turner was historically bad for the first two-thirds of the season. You remember how he would go to the ballpark, and I think it was 3-4 weeks ago, he would go to the ballpark and the fans would like start to cheer for him and encourage him because they were attempting to lift him up. He even took out a billboard in Philadelphia to thank the fans for being so supportive. And now, finally, the bat has shown up in a pretty torrid way. So, yes, all is forgiven with Trey Turner. But also, Bryce Harper cranks home run number 299, and apparently there is a story behind it.
Driving in today, and you know, I'm listening to WIP like I do a lot, the 2 o'clock hour. And a guy named Chuck called in, and he calls in a lot. He's hilarious. But I said, you know, he was talking about our team and talking about me and stuff. And I walked in the training room, I was like, I'm gonna go deep tonight for Chuck. That guy had me fired up, man. But you know, it's just funny. I mean, this team as a whole, we, you know, come in here, play with Phillies across our chest. We're all family. We're all pulling, you know, on that same rope. And you know, we just have a great group in here, a lot of fun, and just, you know, really good team.
Chuck, the inspiration for Bryce Harper's latest home run. Chuck, a caller to sports radio on our Philadelphia affiliate WIP. I think that's great. And it's true. I hear from athletes, I hear from coaches that they do listen to sports radio a lot of times because of our time slot being later at night when a lot of games have wrapped up. We'll hear from people that they're listening. I've even heard from one broadcaster friend of mine who says that the team bus is listening to our show a lot of times when they're returning from an airport back to, or when they're returning to an airport or back from a road trip. So yeah, kind of funny to think about that. But Bryce Harper, he has just made Chuck's life. Chuck can die happy now, even before the Phillies win a World Series. That's pretty cool. And the Phillies were hosting and beating soundly the Angels. Did you see or hear what the Angels did yesterday? This is along the lines of a move of, say, the Pirates, although they did start out with some pretty impressive first couple months. The Chargers, the Jets, the Mets, right? This is the type of move that you would associate with a team that is a perennial cluster, if you will. And maybe that's where the Angels belong now. After going all in at the trade deadline, trading for Lucas Giolito, and also keeping Shohei Ohtani, deciding they would push for the playoffs, they placed nearly a quarter of their roster on waivers yesterday, including Giolito, who's been an unmitigated disaster since he joined the Angels. Apparently, it sent ripple effects throughout baseball. So teams can claim these players, but it's really a salary dump for the Angels. And it's an opportunity for other teams who are headed to the postseason to try to add pieces. And get this, Giolito found out on Twitter. That's how he found out he was getting waived. His reaction, he did speak after that loss to Philly, surprised. It can be a very strange business sometimes. You just roll with it. Phil Nevin, he's trying to keep it all business. He really is. But there were many questions after the game.
Front office decisions that don't affect our room. We got to go out and win some games and play the game right.
So just business as usual before this one tonight?
Yeah, business as usual. We got to, you know, go out and play. I thought, you know, for five innings there, we played some good baseball and just got away from us.
I suppose he does have to toe the company line right now because, after all, his job is likely in jeopardy as well. Because the Angels are, well, they're past life support. I mean, they're being held together by duct tape at this point. And Shohei Ohtani, that may be a pipe dream. Honestly, I don't know if the injury changes anything. There will be teams that will go after him. He's unlikely to get the same type of money he would if his being a two-way player was guaranteed moving forward, and there's no way of knowing that now that he's got this torn UCL. So maybe it's less money, but he's still a valuable bat with the promise of potentially pitching again once he's healthy. It's crazy. The Angels go all in, and since the trade deadline, have just 7 wins. The trade deadline was the beginning of August. They have 7 wins since then. Blown up. As in blown up royally. All right, running a little bit long here. Straight ahead, Jonathan Taylor stays with the Colts. Dalvin Cook practices with the Jets. And I have no idea what Bill Belichick is doing. But it's Belichick, so it makes me smile.
This receiver trio is scary, and it does start with Scary Terry himself there. He's good, man. And I it's just, can we get normal quarterback play for this guy
for
once in his career? Because you're right. I mean, yeah, no shade to ODU's finest Taylor Heinicke, but he was literally a backup quarterback in the XFL. And he's probably the best player that Washington has rolled out at quarterback in Terry's, you know, career.
Subscribe to Reception Perception, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First player on this drive is a handoff. Slip it through to the 30, 40, down the right sideline. There goes Jonathan Taylor. 30, 20, 10, touchdown. 78 yards. Jonathan Taylor to the house, and the Colts have busted it open. It's 41-10.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He is still a member of the Indianapolis Colts. The call with Brandon Gowden on Westwood One. He's not physically able to perform, though, at least not according to the list. He's on the list. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The list is the pup list. And no, it's not the cute, snuggly little pups or the ones that take a big poop in my house when they first come to visit. No, we're talking about a different pup. We're talking about the physically unable to perform list. So now Jonathan Taylor is out for at least the first 4 games of the season. The question remains, is it because he's injured? Or is it because he will not report? Is it because he's injured, or is it because he just doesn't want to play for the Colts? The Colts did not trade him. And they maybe could try again before the Halloween trade deadline, the in-season deadline. Or he could just get fined for refusing to play when he's under contract. And that's where this injury comes in. But honestly, if I'm Jonathan Taylor, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you're using the ankle as your excuse, as your reason, as your crutch to hold out, you're only hurting yourself. Sure, if you are hurt, but there, physically there, even though you're hurt and you can't play, or you say you can't play, well then no, you're not violating your contract. Technically, the problem is, why would a team trade for you when you're physically unable to do the job? Now, I guess if he got traded, you pass a physical and whoa, all of a sudden he's healthy. And maybe that's what his agent is telling teams. I don't know. there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on behind the scenes. There is the chance that he is healthy and that his agent is letting potential suitors know, or did, now the deadline's passed, was letting potential suitors know that, yes, he would be able to play in time for the season opener. Which is, eh. So he could be using the injury, but what he wants is a full-time contract or a contract extension, a fat contract extension from Indianapolis. And maybe that bridge is burned and he no longer does. But if that's what he was after, feigning an injury or actually having an ankle injury is not the best way to do it. It's the NFL. Life comes at you fast. Think about Trey Lance. A couple of injuries that completely derailed his opportunity in San Francisco. Right now, we don't have any resolution to the Jonathan Taylor drama in Indianapolis, but he will not play in the first month. Speaking of, pup list. I was hoping we'd see Von Miller week number one, but we will not. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, explaining why this is actually a good thing for the Bills' best pass rusher.
Von Miller, the veteran pass rusher, remains on the PUP list after, of course, touring his ACL toward the end of last season. To me, this was kind of interesting because there had been, you know, so much discussion of him being ready for week one. I think a lot of people assumed that he would be. Turns out the Buffalo Bills do. But I think it's a really smart thing and kind of keep Von from himself, right? Kind of make sure that he doesn't put himself in harm's way. And the only thing they really want is for him to be ready for the stretch run, for him to be ready for the playoffs, to act as that closer. I would say they, by pulling him back a little bit, they put themselves in position to have him when they need him most.
Okay. As long as you have Von Miller for the stretch run, I get it. But I would really like to see Von Miller out there patrolling the paint, if you will, getting into a quarterback's grill week after week. I don't want him to come back before he's healthy, but I missed Von on the field late last year. He's valuable and he's fun. He's a firecracker.
Bills Mafia, what's good?
In the NFL. We're going to hear from Trey Lance following the update. And also Bill Belichick, even as the Patriots make another move that's a bit of a head-scratcher. Remember last year how Belichick decided they did not need a traditional offensive coordinator? Maybe this year he's decided they only need one quarterback. He loves to go against the grain, does he not?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the quick response, Coach.
I really can't control that.
Okay. All right. Also, it was our favorite, very short, very quick drop. But as we, even as we send you into the update, Zach Taylor, he feels the same as Kyle Shanahan does about quarterback questions right now. But I'm wondering if he thought about how this might play in the media or get taken out of context when he was asked about Joe Burrow not practicing on Tuesday.
I think he has a very healthy body, and I'm encouraged by that.
I think he has a very healthy body. Is that the politically correct way of saying it? I think he has a very healthy body. It's a really bad pickup line gone wrong.
Oh, yes.
I think you have a very healthy body.
Not go with that one at the bar. No. No.
And I'm encouraged by that.
Yeah. I'm going to put that one in the back pocket.
Pickup lines with Zach Taylor.
Yikes.
That was your QJ. Pickup lines with Zach Taylor.
I think he has a very healthy body. And I'm encouraged by that.
I don't know. Is it just me and you that find that amusing?
I think it's a little creepy. If I'm Joe Burrow.
Well, it is a little creepy. Take it out of context, though.
Yeah.
He had to know the Joe Burrow questions were coming. Why was he not prepared with something less creepy than that?
Yeah. He thought that one out. He answered it so fast, too. Oh, he had gosh. That one ready to go.
Oh, so good. I love football, and I'm so glad it's nearly back. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Good morning to you. It's the Hump Show. We're shooting you downhill toward the holiday weekend. Trey Lance, also Jimmy Garoppolo. He finally feels free to speak his mind. And whoever knows what Bill Belichick is doing. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's our latest sports update.
I think he has a very healthy body.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Around here, you kind of just have to live day by day and just focus on the now. And obviously, you have that in mind, right? A good team has the end goal in mind, but you can't focus on the end goal without going through, you know, the rough stuff. So you got to continue to plug along. You know, have a good practice here tomorrow in full pads and see where it takes us. And then, like I said, every day is a life, has a life of its own, and you kind of just have to go out there and attack it each day.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Mac Jones, Patriots quarterback. The voice of Mac Jones, the only Patriots quarterback. I love it when Bill Belichick goes off script. Okay, I'm not laughing that guys got cut. I'm only laughing because it wasn't more than 2 weeks ago that I last read about whether Bailey Zappi should be starting at quarterback for the Patriots.
We don't have time for that.
Apparently not. We don't have time for those types of asinine questions. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, not laughing about guys getting cut. There is certainly a chance that both Bailey Zappi and Malik Cunningham could end up on the Patriots practice squad. Or maybe he has, clearly, I shouldn't say maybe, clearly Belichick has his eyes on another quarterback who maybe hit waivers or has been released. I've seen the name Will Grier floated around. Okay, so Will Grier, who played exceptionally well in preseason, but then was expendable in Dallas because of Trey Lance. There's a bunch of different names out there. Jay seems to think that they're going to lure Brian Hoyer away from. Isn't he with the Raiders now?
He's just always seems to find his way back to New England. It's inevitable.
So, yeah, maybe they'll go after Kyle Trask. Who knows?
Will Grier's an interesting name. I think that's a good fit, actually.
Yeah, we'll see. Just safe to say that Mac Jones is the undisputed starter in New England. There's no more quarterback controversy with the Patriots. Right. So Belichick, he was taking a serious tone on Tuesday, of course, because it's a tough day as all of the NFL rosters had to be trimmed down to 25.
It's a tough day.
53,
you know, for everyone. Whoops, we have relationships with players, some over an extended period of time, some less, but yeah, you know, we talked about it the other day. It's difficult for everyone. It's difficult on the relationships, but we all knew this day was coming, and this is part of the process. And it's a very competitive league, and there's a lot of very talented, you know, players, and they compete, and not everybody can, you know, have a spot. So yeah, that's difficult. Again, I would, as always, like I always do, caution you about, you know, thinking like things are over when they're not necessarily over on a lot of levels. They may not be over here. They may not be over somewhere else. Players have certainly gone left here and gone and had careers, and players have been released by other teams and come here. The Rob Ninkoviches of the world or whatever, that, you know, tough day for him, and that's the end of his line, and it definitely wasn't. So, you know, the stories aren't over here.
That's Bill Belichick. But it's more fun to think about how last year he decided, who needs a real offensive coordinator? Let's go with Matt Patricia, because that makes sense. This year it's, who needs two quarterbacks? I got one. I'm ride or die with Mac Jones.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
He is always walking to the beat of a different drummer. So let's see what happens with New England. But it's safe to say Mac is the starter. All right, can we at least put that conversation to bed?
I think that's safe to say.
Safe to say. Mac is the one and he is the only. He's QB one and only.
He is QB.
He is the QB.
Simply just QB.
He's the entire QB room. You know, there's usually multiple people in the quarterback room. Nope.
I wonder what he's going to do today in practice and film.
Mac is the only quarterback.
Room by himself.
No, he's got Bill O'Brien because Bill Belichick has, in fact, in a roundabout way, admitted that it's probably smart to have an offensive coordinator. Great.
Might help.
So it's now Bill O'Brien and Mac Jones. Just
what could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Oh, my gosh. Why do we have so much fun at Bill Belichick's expense? I don't think he cares. So Trey Lance is no longer a Niner. We know this, right? That's old news. But now he's a Dallas Cowboy. And did you see the giant smile on his face Tuesday?
Very excited to be here, first and foremost. Just excited to continue to get to know the guys. And obviously, you know, for me, it's just learning, taking it one day at a time. Not really trying to look too far forward or anything like that. But really right now, just kind of be a sponge and learn and enjoy every day.
Ooh, sponging from Dak Prescott, who, as we know, is there going to be a quarterback controversy in Dallas? Right now, Dak is the one, not the only, but he's the one in Dallas.
He welcomed me with open arms. This morning was the first time I ran into him. But yeah, I mean, that meant a lot to me. I know it's this business is crazy. But for me, like I said, I'm not looking forward at all. I'm just really trying to take it one day at a time and he's a guy that's obviously played at a very high level for a very long time. So nothing but, you know, obviously just tons and tons of respect for him, as I think he deserves and gets from across the league. So for me, just trying to learn everything I possibly can from him.
Trey Lance didn't really want to talk about San Francisco. In fact, he was asked specifically about losing the backup gig to Sam Darnold.
Kind of really trying to move on, yeah, it definitely took some time. You know, that conversation obviously, you know, wasn't something that I wanted to hear, but that's the reality of the situation, and nothing but respect and gratitude for everyone there and, you know, coaching staff, locker room, you know, obviously athletic training staff, everyone I spent a ton of time with these last few years. But yeah, obviously, you know, it was tough, but for me it was, you know, kind of trying to figure out, you know, what's next and what's going to happen in the future.
Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, but Jimmy Garoppolo will at least tiptoe around it. Wait, do you think Jimmy tiptoed around it, or do you think he danced right across the floor?
I think he cannonballed into it.
He cannonballed into the pool?
Right into the deep end. Off the diving board.
Even though he didn't say much.
I think it was a classy approach. I don't think it was like snarky or anything, but I think he said what he wanted to say.
You think he got it out there?
I think so.
He got the message across loud and clear?
Yeah. In a like I said, respectful and classier kind of way. He's a classy guy, but he said what he had to say.
He definitely handled all of the twists and turns and the gut punches in San Francisco. And now that includes his own injuries. If he'd stayed healthy the entire time, there wouldn't be the questions or the crazy iterations at the QB position. So it's partly on him and the injuries, similar to Trey Lance. But when he was interviewed by Robin Lundberg for Sports Illustrated, he was asked about Trey landing with Dallas.
Weird situation. Been a lot of weird situations over there in San Francisco. Just leave it at that. But you know, I'm happy Trey got another shot, man.
How do you think San Francisco's handled those quarterback situations?
How do you think they've handled them?
I think it's been messy. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Wait, I can't get enough of this. We got to hear it one more time. Okay, this time I won't laugh. I won't interrupt. So again, he was asked by Robin Lundberg about Trey Lance.
Weird situation. Been a lot of weird situations over there in San Francisco. Just leave it at that. But, you know, I'm happy Trey got another shot, man.
How do you think San Francisco's handled those quarterback situations?
How do you think they've handled them?
I think it's been messy. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Jimmy G free as a bird to speak his mind. So I say he kind of tiptoed around it. You're saying he just danced right over it. Just
I think so.
Danced. He did a little Irish jig right on top of the Niners' heads.
I think he did. I think he did it perfectly, though, to be honest. I think he doesn't look like,
it's
like
cryptic,
a bad guy.
It's cryptic enough that it doesn't tell you what you really want to know, which was how bad it was or some of the dirty details. But it's also got the big smile and the humor and kind of the perfect pregnant pauses. Boy, does he have a sense of timing when it comes to the comedy.
And it's the chuckles for me, too.
Oh, when he's yeah. Like, it's fantastic.
But a lot of weird situations over there in San Francisco. Just to believe.
No, but even better is when Robin asks him about the quarterback situation and he there's this big pause. And how do you think they've handled it?
How do you think San Francisco's handled those quarterback situations?
How do you think they've handled it?
That's my favorite part. That is a pregnant pause if I've ever heard one. Oh, my goodness. All right, so Jimmy Garoppolo, leaving still much to the imagination, and yet, as Jay points out, it's classy. He's laughing. He's not upset. He's not angry. He's not Baker Mayfield on an emotional rampage when he feels like the team is moving on. And he was very professional his entire time in the Bay Area. Now, though, you maybe feel a little bit of that emotion that was always under the surface. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of under the surface and some of that emotion, Venus Williams, iconic tennis player, still every now and then will pick up a match, and Dish got ousted at the U.S. Open on Tuesday.
I haven't played a lot of matches this year, so the times that I could play, I gave it my all. You know, I got a handful of matches, and it wasn't the year I was expecting, but I gave it everything I had.
I think it's good for fans to still see a Williams sister at the U.S. Open. Know a lot of people are missing Serena and missing her on the court, and the American presence is different. I mean, there are some young up-and-comers that could make noise. There's a bunch, maybe a half dozen, including Coco Gauff and Jessie Pegula, young American women who could make some noise. And then on the men's side, you've got a few, but you've also got a couple that are retiring. Jack Sock is about to exit stage left. John Isner, who's now in his mid-30s, has indicated that this will be his last major, and that he's retiring as well. And you may know him because he's 6'10", 6'11", is part of the longest match ever played in tennis history, and did advance out of round one at the U.S. Open, so he'll be a sentimental favorite as well. By the way, crazy situation, John McEnroe has COVID and has to miss all of the coverage of the U.S. Open. Talk to you tonight. Survive your Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!